All right, Jabot, say, let's begin. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf ayin 70. We are picking up on daf ayin 70. We're picking up, Rabbi Osei, three lines down from the top. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack, in memory of Solom Floret, Pollack, Sarah Bas Avram, Shmuel Ben Zechariah. May their neshamas have an aliyah and their families a nechama. So we'll say with that, let's begin. Hahu Beisa. We'll say third line down from the top. Ayin Amud Aleph. Hahu Beisa. Dohavi Yosef Bechamer Yisrael. We'll say there was a particular home, and inside of that home, the wine of the Jew was inside of it. Right? So a Jew was storing wine inside a home. All Oved Kochavim, Achda Ledasha Ba'ape. What happened? So the Oved Kochavim came in. Thank you. The Oved Kochavim came in, and he closed the door behind himself. So the Akum goes into the home, closes the door behind himself, thereby is there, and is alone with the wine of the Jew. Vavi Biza Bidasha. So what happened? There was a hole in the door where one was able to go ahead and see into. One was able to go ahead and see into the place where the wine was. So what happens? So the Gemara says, "Ishtachach ovi kochavim dekai beni dani." So the Jew saw through the hole in the wall, that is through the hole in the door, that the Oved Kochavim was standing between the barrels. So we'll say now the shaila is, what's the status of the wine? Amar Rava. So Rava said, "Kol delahadi biza shari." Any wine that is visible from the wine hole, ultimately, again, is permitted. So I'll say, so in other words, any of the barrels that you could see from the hole in the door will be permitted. And I will say again, this all goes back to what we were discussing yesterday, that a Oved Kochavim is not going to tamper with wine when there is the fear of discovery. He will only go ahead and tamper with wine if there is the possibility that he can get away with it. But Lamaise, if there's a significant possibility of discovery, he's not going to tamper with it. Therefore, the Gemara says as follows. Any of the barrels which could be seen through the hole in the door, where the Akum knows he can be seen, those barrels are all fine, because we're not choshesh that he's going to tamper with them in any way. However, the haigisa, aser. But any wine literally on this side or on this side, which Rabose means what? Which the Maisa means, you can't see him. See any of the barrels where you can see, ultimately, again, will be Aser. Fine, I'll say that's case number one. We're going to go through a number of different rulings of Rava today. And that is indeed how the Gemara Paskins Halacha L'maisa. If you could see it, then it's not, no concern of Yayin Ezech. If you can't see it, then there's a concern that it's been tampered with. Next. Correct. The case is where there's everybody, you can see there's a hole in the door. It's observable. So the Gemara says, "Hahu chamra di Yisrael, dohava yasi bebeisa dohava dar Yisrael." We'll say another case. There was wine of a Jew, which was situated in a home in which a Jew lived, be'al yona, va'ovid kochavim betachmon. So what's another interesting case? You have a situation of a two-story home. The Jew lives on the upper story. The Akum lives on the lower story. If you look at Rashi, we'll say it's the third line down in the short lines of Rashi. Yisrael ba'al yonav ha'ov kham betachtona, v'yayin betachtona, v'yisrael ra'eya milamalas. We'll say the case over here is, the Jew lives on the upper story, the Akum lives on the lower story, the wine is stored in the lower story, and the Yisrael is able to see it from his apartment. So whatever the Metzias is, there's some type of hole in the floor, whatever it is, the point is the Jew from his upper story apartment could see the wine in the lower story area. So what happened, Abu Sayyid? Shamu kol tigra. So one day, the Jew and the Akum are both sitting in their respective homes. They hear a fight, some type of argument, break out outside of the house. So what happens? Nafki. So they both go out of the house. They both, right, the Israel leaves his upper story apartment. The Akum leaves his lower story apartment. And they both go out to see what is happening outside. So we'll say what happens. Kadim asa ovi kochavim achda ledasha ba'ape. So what happened? The Akum goes back inside the house before the Yisrael and closed the door behind him. close the door behind him. So now the Matzias over here is, the Yaakum has no idea if the Jew is inside the house, the Jew is not inside the house. The Yaakum happened to go in first, close the door, lock the door behind him. So now what's the Shaila? The Shaila is, what's the status of the wine? So Amar Rava, Rava said, Chamra Shari, the wine is permitted. Why? Meimar Amar, because the Yaakum says, Kehechi de Kadam Asai Ana, Kadam Va'asi Yisra V'yasav Be'alyon V'kachazili. Because the Yaakum says to himself, the same way that I came into my apartment and I'm here, the Yisrael probably went into his apartment and he's already there. And remember again, what's the case, Rabbi Osai? The Yisrael has the ability to see his wine from where? From his upper story apartment. Remember again, here's the other case of Mirsis. The Akum in general is not going to do anything with this wine, because at the end of the day, he knows that the Yisrael could see the wine from his upper story apartment. So in this case over here, even though we know that the Akum came in first, the Akum doesn't know that the Jew is not there. Because he doesn't know that the Jew is not there, therefore what the mirsus, the fear factor, is still present. Therefore we assume the Akum is not going to tamper with the wine, and therefore the wine is mutter. Again, because he holds, just like I came into the apartment, the Yisrael must have come into his apartment, the Yasud Be'al Yonah, he's in his upper story, Damasavaka Chazili, and therefore again, I'm sure he's able to see me and his wine, and therefore he doesn't tamper with it. Next case of offside. Hosh Biza. The Havi Yosef Bechamra di Yisrael. So there was a particular inn, so which housed wine of Yisrael. So a Jew had deposited his wine for storage in a particular inn. What happened? Ishtachich Ovid Kochavim Davi Yosef Beni Dani. So listen to this. So the Yisrael comes, and what does he find? He finds that ultimately, again, he finds an Akum standing between the barrels. Why is the Akum standing between the barrels? So again, remember, that's all he finds. The Akum is between the barrels. So we'll say, so now the shaila is, what's the status of the wine? So it says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rava says as follows, in nitbas alav kigan of shari. But so this is actually very interesting. So the Gemara says like this, if there is no feasible explanation as to why the ganav would be present. In other words, we'll say, if when the ganav is discovered there, he's essentially going to be treated like a, excuse me, when the akum is found there, he's going to be treated like a ganav. So also means, he has no reason, there's no reason for him to be there. And the only reason for him to be there would be why? Because he's doing something illegal with the wine, then the wine is permitted. We'll say, now what does that mean? In other words, if it's clear that the akum himself can only get in trouble by being present by the wine, then we assume that he hasn't done anything to the wine. Again, remember, we'll say, all of these cases are all operating based on one simple principle, which is an Akum is only going to tamper with the wine if he assumes that he is not going to be discovered and therefore won't get into trouble. If there is the possibility of discovery and therefore subsequent trouble with the law, he's not going to tamper with the wine. Therefore, if the Yisrael finds him standing between the barrels of wine, if the Akum has no business there, and the only thing that's going to happen if he's there and he's found to have tampered with the wine is that he's going to be accused to be a ganav, so we assume that he has not tampered with the wine, and therefore the wine is mutter. Ve'ilo, but I will say, if at the end of the day, ilo, meaning if he has a plausible alibi as to why he is there, and therefore, again, he's not going to get in trouble for his contact or potential, not contact even, for his just being around the wine, then usher, then the wine is usher, out of a concern that he may have, in fact, made the wine yayin nesach. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Hahu besa, davi yase bechamras. We'll say, similar case. There was a particular home in which the Jew kept his wine. Ishtach ovei kochavim dava kaim bei doni. So we'll say, so what happened? So the Jew comes along and he finds an akum standing between the barrels. Standing between the barrels. So Amar Rava, Rava said, I islei li ishtamute chamra asir. So we'll listen to this. So it's the same kind of yisod. If we know that the akum could come up with an excuse, right? Islei li ishtamute means that if again the akum has some type of plausible excuse, then chamra asir. Then ultimately, again, the wine is going to be asir. I was about to say, if the Akum could explain his presence around the wine, then lemaisa, again, the wine is going to be asir. I was about to say, look at Rashi. I islei li ishtamute. V'lomar lekach nichnasti. So meaning, if the Akum has an excuse as to why it is that he entered into where the wine is being kept, samcha daite v'lo mirsas. Then Rabbi say again, he has no fear. He has no fear. Dechi al lahach beisa meikara daite delansuche al v'savar imashkecholi ishtamitna. So we'll say, again, we have to assume under these circumstances that the Akum may have in fact made the wine Yayin Esech. Why? Because he has no fear of any type of reprisals or repercussions. Why not? Because he has an excuse, or quote unquote an alibi, as to why it is that he would be there in the first place. Therefore, we'll say it means, Yisrael Lishtamute means, if he has an excuse as to why, again, he was present. Therefore, in that case, we'll say, Chamra Asir. The wine ultimately, again, will be Asir. V'ilo, I will say, if he has no good alibi, then what? Chamra shari. Then the wine will be printed. So we'll say, again, remember, no alibi means that if he's seen there, or if, right, he's going to get in trouble. Again, whenever there's a fear of some type of trouble or reprisal, we don't assume that the Akum is going to do anything to tamper with the wine. The only time we have to be concerned that he's going to tamper with the wine is when he feels, A, that he's not going to be discovered, and even if he is discovered, potentially, he has an excuse and therefore won't get into trouble. So Meisvei, the Gemara raises the kasha, Nin al hapundak, Osha amar lo shamor. Supposed to listen to this. Rashi says, Nin al hapundak, v'nisyached ovid kochavim im hayayin. Osha amar Yisrael ovid kochavim, shamor, amold mi bachutz v'shamor. Supposed to listen to this. If at the end of the day, the innkeeper closed up, right? Nin al hapundak, they closed up the inn. And what happens? The Ovid Kochavim is the only one who has access to the wine. Or the Yisrael says to the Ovid Kochavim, do me a favor, stand outside the door and stand watch over the wine storehouse. Then Abba say, what's the halacha? Aser. Ultimately, again, the wine is going to be Aser. Now look at Rashi, Aser. Techaishinan Dilma O. So we'll say, ultimately, again, I'm concerned that the Ovid Kochavim perhaps went and had contact with the wine. Kevan Damarli Shamar, Samcha Daite de Maflig Mine. So we'll say, now the Chap over here is going back to something we learned yesterday. Since the Yisrael tells the Akum, do me a favor and guard the wine. Guard makes it sound like what? That the Yisrael is going to be gone for some prolonged amount of time. Now remember, based on what we learned yesterday, whenever the Yisrael is going to be gone for some prolonged amount of time, so the Akum, we're concerned that the Akum is going to go ahead and take liberties with the wine. To which the Gemara says, my love, afagav the islay, the less they lishtamute. So are we not dealing over here with a case where even though the Akum has no good excuse to be with the wine, nevertheless the wine is going to be usher? And this contradicts what we said before. Because beforehand, what did we say? We'll say beforehand we said that the only time the wine is usher is if the Akum has an alibi for his presence there. But if he doesn't, ultimately, again, the wine will not be usher. Yet from here we seem to see that it's different. To which the Gemara says, no, lo. But the Israel Lishtamut. You know, this is also talking about a case where he has, quote unquote, an alibi. He has a good, meaning if he is discovered by the wine, he does in fact have a good answer as to why he's there. And therefore, because he could justify his presence by the wine, that's what we're concerned that he may have done something. Another case we'll say, Ho Yisrav Ovik Ochavim, Davi Asivi. Listen to this. The Kashasu Chamra. This is actually an amazing case. So Yisrael and an Akum are sitting drinking wine. And what happens as they're drinking wine? Shema Yisrael kol saluye beknishta. So what happens in Vosai? So the Yisrael hears, they're calling out, mincha, mincha, right? He hears them calling out, right, that it's time to daven. Literally, kol saluye beknishta means the sound of davening in shul. So literally, he's drinking wine with the Yaakum. And then what happens? He hears that mincha starting in shul. Kam va'azza. So we'll say what happens. He leaves his wine by the Yaakum. And he goes to Davin. So we'll say, so now it's the Shaila. The Shaila is, what's the status of the wine? So Amar Rava. Rava says, Chamra Shari. Ultimately, again, the wine is Mutter. Why? Meimar Amar, Hashta Mitkar Leila Chamre, Vahadra Asi. Ultimately, again, Siyavose, here's what's interesting. See, the Akum has absolutely no idea how long davening takes, right? And therefore what? He figures the Jew is leaving now, but he'll be back. He'll be back. Remember, he's not going to leave. He's not going to just leave his wine here indefinitely. Still come back. So we'll say, because again, there is that mirsus. Because ultimately, again, there is that concern. Ultimately, again, that the Jew is going to return at any given moment. Therefore, the Akum does not go ahead and take liberties ultimately with the wine. Next. Hu Yisrov Avikochavim. Tahavu Yosef Ba'arba. Let's listen to this. There was a Jew. We'll say, by the way, I just want to point out, don't infer from this Gemara that it's okay for a Jew and a Gentile to drink together. Remember, again, we've seen explicit Gemaras against that concept of Dafka sharing alcoholic beverages with the Akum is in a concept that Chazal absolutely frowned upon. We'll say for a variety of different reasons, consumption of alcohol with anyone is always something that one has to be vigilant with, and to do it with people of different religions and different moral values, we'll say something exceptionally dangerous. So this is the Metzius that the Gemara is dealing with this particular case, and specifically focusing on what the status of the wine of the Jew is in the event that he leaves it with the Akum. So we'll say similarly the next case. Hu Yisrov Avkom Dehavu Yasi Ba'arva. This is another interesting case. Jew and Akum are sitting together in a boat. And what happens? They're drinking wine on a boat. Okay? Shami Yisrov Kol Shippuri. So Devei Shimshi. What happens? So this was Erev Shabbos. They're sitting drinking wine in a boat. And the Jew heard the shofar. Let's say, remember again, this is in not just in Eretz Yisrael, but I will say, again, in Jewish communities, in times of the Gemara, they would blow, remember, the Mishnah, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos brings down that they would blow the shofar on Erev Shabbos to indicate that Shabbos was coming. This was the alarm, this was the siren before Shabbos to indicate that Shabbos was coming. So the Jew is sitting in the boat together with the Akum, and what happens? He hears the Shabbos siren go off. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Nafak va'azel. See, he left the boat. He left the boat and he left his wine behind. So the Shaila is, what's the status of the wine? Amar Rava, Chamra Shari. Rava says the wine is permitted. Why? Meimar Amar, Hashta Mitkar Le'lechamre, Vahadar Asi. Ultimately, again, because the Akum says to himself, the Jew will remember that he left his wine here, and he'll come back for his wine. So again, now whether the Jew is going to or not is irrelevant. The point is the Akum knows that that possibility exists. And because that possibility exists, therefore what? Therefore, again, the Akum is not going to tamper with the wine. So the Gemara says, V'hadrasi, v'im yishum shabsa. What about Shabbos? You both say there's a different issue over here. What about the issue of Shabbos? Right? At the end of the day, how is the Jew going to go ahead and take his wine? When I was like, coming back and claiming the wine will be a potential issue of carrying. Right? So isn't that an issue? To which the Gemara says, Ha'amar Rava Amar Li Isra Giyura. Both listen to this. Isra the Ger. Right? That's his name. His name was Isra. Isra the Ger. Isra the convert told me, Ki havinon ba'armiyusan. When I was a Gentile, Amrinon, we used to say, Yehudoi lo mintri Shabsa. The Jews don't really keep Shabbos. How do you know the Jews don't really keep Shabbos? Di mintri Shabsa, kama kisi kamishtachachi b'shuka. Because if the Jews really kept Shabbos, how many coin purses should there be ultimately again in the shuk? And I will say, now what does that mean? So what Issa Giura was saying as follows is, we used to see the Jews in the marketplace moments before Shabbos. And there was absolutely no way that they made it back home in time for Shabbos. Therefore what? If they were really observing, then what would have happened? They would have had to leave their wallets in the marketplace. Yet amazingly enough, we never found any wallets in the marketplace on Shabbos. So the Jews don't really keep Shabbos. Until what happened? V'lo yedana. Israel said, then I converted. And I learned a little bit of Torah. And what did I discover? V'lo yedana desirlan k'Rabbi Yitzchak. And I learned the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak. We'll say, what does Rabbi Yitzchak say? The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Hamotzi kis b'Shabbos. Molicho pachos pachos midalad amos. The Rabbi Yitzchak, and there's an interesting sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak. That's what? That we know, Rabbi Yitzchak, remember again, the issue over here we're dealing with is one of hotzah, one of transporting an object in a public domain, dalad amos. Rabbi Yitzchak holds that as long as you transport an item, if in increments of less than dalad amos, then what? One has not violated an Isser D'Oraisa. Now there is still an Isser D'Rabbanon. There's still an Isser D'Rabbanon. But Rabbi Yitzchak holds that in the case of Hefsid Merubah, in the case ultimately again of dramatic loss, one could go ahead and transport the kiss less than dalaramus. Look at Rashi. Pachos, pachos mi dalaramus. Va'omid lafush. And a person rests, literally, lafush means rest. A person stops walking at increments less than dalet amos. So Rashi says, v'leka akira mitchilas dalet l'sof arba. So we'll say, therefore, again, there's less of a transport, I understand, transporting an object, less than dalet amos. So we'll say, so the point over here is, back to our case, therefore, when the Jew is drinking wine with the Akum on Erev Shabbos, the Jew leaves, the Akum figures he'll still come back. What about carrying the wine? So even the Akum knows that the Jews have ways to carry stuff if they need to on Shabbos. And therefore, again, he'll come back and he'll just carry the wine at distances of less than Dalet Amas each. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Ho Arye, David Noem B'Ma'atzarta. Let's listen to this case. There was a case of a lion that was roaring by the wine press. What happened? Shama Ovid Kochavim. So the Ovid Kochavim heard this. Tasha Beni Dani. And the Ovid Kochavim hid between the barrels of wine. Now this was Jewish wine. Hid between the barrels. Amar Rava. So what's this? So the Shaila becomes, is the wine permitted or not? So Rava says, yes, Chamra Shari, the wine is permitted. Why? Meimar Amar, because ultimately, again, we could say, Meimar, the Akum says, Kihechi Ditashina Ana, Itsha Nami Yisrael Achoroi Vekachazili. Because the Akum says the same way that I hid between the barrels, it's possible that the Jew hid between the barrels. Maybe he was hiding behind me, and maybe he saw me hiding here the entire time. And I was about to say, so again, this is a case the Gemara understands as being where the Akum is concerned that the Yisrael sees him as well. So remember again, wherever the Akum feels that he is under observation, or there is the possibility of discovery, he is not going to tamper with the wine. Next, Hano Gandhi, the Salkila Pompadisa. Well, so listen to this. There were these thieves who were in Pompadisa. Pompadisa, remember again, was one of the major cities, Jewish cities in Babel. Upaschu chavisa tuva. And the thieves opened up many barrels of wine. So as they say, the Shaila was, what is the status of these open barrels? So Amar Rava, Rava said, Chamar Shari, the wine in fact is permitted. Why? My taima. Ruba ganvi Yisrael minhu. Well, so listen to this. He says, because the majority of ganavim are Jews. Now what does this mean? This was in Pompadisa. Meaning you say in the city of Pompadisa, which had a strong majority Jewish presence. So if the majority of the population were Jews, the majority of thieves, unfortunately, in that city were also Jewish. So that's good news and bad news. So the bad news is the majority of thieves in the city are Jews. That's just bad. The good news is, als yayinesech, it's good. So I'd say even if I come home and all of my barrels are opened up, you know, halacha lemaaseh, again, I don't have to worry about yayin nesech, because I can work under the assumption that the thieves were Jewish. So the Gemara goes weiter. Hu ovda ben Ardai. So we'll say, listen to this. So this similar type of episode occurred in Arda, where ultimately, again, a person was burglarized and the barrels were open. Va'amr Shmuel chamra shari. And Shmuel said, ultimately, again, that the wine is permitted. Kiman. But see, now, here's what's interesting. In accordance with whose opinion, Shabbos says, so in Pompadisa, the reason they ruled this, we understand, in Pompadisa, they ruled this because in a majority Jewish city, so we assume that the majority of people of Ganavim were Jewish as well. So yet, this same episode happened in Arda. Shmuel paskind that the wine was permitted. So the Shaila was wise. Well, so obviously, the Gemara is assuming Arda is not the same thing as Pompadisa, and that they're not assuming that the majority of thieves are Jewish. So if that's the case, then why did he permit the wine? Kiman, Rabbi Eliezer. In accordance with the view of Rabbi Eliezer, we'll say, what did Rabbi Eliezer say? Da'amar safek bia tar. We'll say, listen to this. Because Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that when there is doubt, if a person even came in contact with a tamei item, that ultimately, again, he is tahar. Take a look at the Gemara, which we'll see. Take a look at Rashi just a moment, for just one moment. Safek bia, Rashi says, de'lo yadinan obid kochavim i'al. We'll say, see, as we're going to see in just a moment, there's two different types of sveikos we could deal with. There's safek maga and safek bia. Safek maga is the case that we've been dealing with up until now, where I know that the Ovid Kochavim is present. In other words, he is in proximity of the wine. I know that he's present. What's the shaila? The shaila is, did he touch the wine or not? There's a further removed case, we'll say, which is called Safek Bia. Safek Bia means I have a Safek about the proximity issue. Was the Akum, let's say, even in proximity to the wine at all? So again, Safek Mago, which is the case we've been dealing with until now, which is I know the Akum is present. I know that he's by the wine. I just don't know if he touched the wine. Safek Bia is I don't even know if he even came close to the wine or not. So the Gemara is going to suggest now that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that any case of Safek Bia, by definition, is going to be, and the Gemara is going to say Tahor, but we're going to say ultimately Mutz. So just look at that Rashi, once more, Safek Bia, Delo Yadinan Ovid Kochavim Ial Ilo. I don't know if the Ovid Kochavim even came in close proximity to the wine or not. Tahor, Umishum Hachi Shari, the Shanilan Safek Bia, Mi Bia Vadai, the Safek Magos. So we'll say, watch this. So therefore, Shmuel held that this was a case of Safek Bia, and the case of Safek Bia, like Rabbi Eliezer. Damar, Safek Bia Tar. This time, we'll say, what's the case? Listen to this. Hanichnas Lebika, Bimos Hagishamim. We'll say, a person walks into to a Bika. We'll say, Bika is Rashi says, Sodos Harbe Zu Eitzel Zu Bimos Hagishamim, Shezruahi, Vein Rabim Darsim Osa, we'll listen to this. So a bika, we'll say, is like a plane with many different contiguous fields. So let's say, so we're talking about a person enters into a bika, we'll say, means the rainy season. Rainy season is when the fields are plowed. Therefore, again, you also don't have a lot of pedestrian traffic. Therefore, again, a bika during the rainy season is considered to be like Rishus HaYochid, private domain. I will say, we already know from our soul today's that any Safek Toma Birshus HaYochid is going to be Tomei, Birshus HaRabim is going to be Tahor. So what happens? Hanichnas Lebeka B'mos HaGeshamim V'Toma B'Sada Plonis. I will say, now what we know is as follows. We know that there is, let's keep it easy, there's a grave in one of the fields. We just don't know what. We don't know which field it's in. And what happens? Va'amar, and a guy comes along and says, Halachti b'makom halaz ve'ini yodeh nichnasti la'osa sada im lo nichnasti. But I say, so what happens? A guy comes along and says, listen, here's what I know. I know that I was in that bika. I know that I was in that plain, and I was along those fields. But what? But what? I don't know if I entered into the field, because I don't know which field has the grave. I don't know if I entered into the field with the grave or not. So I know I was in the general geographic area. I was in that bika. I was in that plain. But I have absolutely no idea if I ever walked into the field with the grave or not. We'll say, what's the halacha? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Safek Bia Tahar, Safek Maga Tame. So what Rabbi Eliezer says, that ultimately, again, if he's not sure if he entered into the field at all, that's Safek Bia, then he's going to be Tahor. We'll say, if he says Safek Maga, but let's say he were to say that's what? I know I went into the field with the grave. But what? But what? I don't know if I came in contact with the grave or not, to both say, then that Safek is going to be Tame. So the Gemara says, well, say, take a look at Rashi. Safek Maga Tame. Damar nechnasti l'sade shatuma bo. Ve'ini yodea im nagati betuma im lav. So Bosei, say, if he says, I'm not sure if I ever entered into the field with the grave, that's Safek Bia. Safek Bia is going to be Tahor. But if he says, I entered into the field with the grave, but I just don't know if I came in contact with the grave, that's Safek Maga. And Safek Maga is going to be Tame. To which the Gemara says, Lo shiny hasam. Kevan diika de paschi l'shum mamona havile svek sveka. Bosei, so the Gemara says, no. This is not why Shmuel permitted. So the Gemara is suggesting that maybe the case over here, the reason why Shmuel ultimately again allowed for the open barrels in Arda was because this was a case of Safek Bia, to which the Gemara says no. Shiny hasam kevan diika de paschi l'shum mamona havile svek sveka. Also, listen to this. Shmuel allowed the open barrels in Arda. Why? Because there's a Svek Sveka. Also, what's the Svek Sveka? So, Safek, Yisrael, Safek, Ovi Kochavim. So, number one, the Safek is, was it a Jew opened the barrel, or was an Akum who opened a barrel? And also, the second Safek is, even if you want to say that it was an Akum, maybe he didn't open it for Yayin Esek purposes. What purpose did he open it for, Abosai? To be able to find money. Apparently, what people used to do is they would hide possessions in wine barrels. And where would you put the barrel? You'd put it in your basement. And I will say again, so the thief, when he would come looking for your money, he wouldn't look in your wine cellar because sometimes there's just wine there. So therefore, I will say the thieves caught on to this. Therefore, Shmuel said that the barrels in the Harda are mutter. I'll say svek svek, a double suffik. Suffik number one is maybe it was a Jew, maybe it was an Akum who opened the barrel. And even if it was an Akum, then what? Perhaps the Akum wasn't interested in Yai Nesach, but why did he open up all of the barrels of Osai? Ultimately, again, to look for money. Amadeus Osai, I am Amadeus. Hayi Rabisa, Vishtachach Dahavis Beidon. So listen to this. There was this young girl, Rashi says, Ravisa's Tinokes Avedes Kochavim. A young Akum girl, a baby, Davis Beidani, we'll say, who was sitting between the barrels of Jewish wine. Nakita Ufya Biada. We'll say she had some of the foam of the wine in her hand. So the Gemara will say, so what's the Shiloh over here? So the Shiloh over here is the Yai Nesach. Remember again, Akum has the ability to render Jewish wine Yai Nesach, even at a young age. So the Shiloh, she has the foam in her hand. What's the status of the wine? Amar Rava Chamra Shari. Rava says the wine is totally permitted. Why? Emar migaba de chavisa shakalte. Because Rava said we could say that where did she take the wine from? The outside of the barrel. V'afagav de lekasu. And Rava said, but here's the problem. Even if you look around and you don't see any foam anywhere else or any of the outside of the barrels. Nevertheless, Emar isramuye isramila. Rava said, ultimately, again, we could assume that she happened to find some foam on the outside of the barrels. And that ultimately, again, is what she's holding. Rashi points out a very important qualification to this ruling. Rashi says, "Emar migaba dechavisa shakalta." She took it from the outside of the barrel. Second line, "V'dafka rabisa de'ena yodas betiv nisoch v'lo masra nafsha leminga aval gidola michi chazina denaket ufya." This kula is dafka by a baby. Because again, when we say baby, baby just means very young child. Someone obviously who's not conversant in the laws or in the practices of idolatry. Such a young child like that, you don't have to be concerned that you're actively trying to make the wine Yai Nesach. So as long as you could find some other type of, we'll call it excuse or narrative, or some other way to paint the narrative, so that you don't have to assume it's Yai Nesach, you could do so. But by an older Akum, again, we would not assume that they found the foam on the outside of the barrel, unless we see foam on the outside of the barrel. Otherwise, you would have to assume that they opened the barrel and actively touched the wine. Hahu pulmasa, the salik lenarda. Listen to this. Pulmasa, as she says, is a rosh hagayis artzava, is a general. There was a general who came with his group of soldiers to Narda. Paschu chavisa tuva. They opened up many barrels of wine. Kiyasar Avdimi, so I'll say in the Shaila is, what's the status of the wine? Kiyasar Avdimi, Amar Uvda Hava Kameid Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar, Vishara. So this once happened with Rabbi Elazar, or Rabbi Elazar once had the same case, and Rabbi Elazar permitted the wine. However, Velo Yedana, but I don't know the reason for it sat there, Velo Yedana, Imishum de Savarla Karabi Eliezer, Damar Safek Bia Tahar, Imishum de Savar, Ruba da Azli Bahadi Pulmasa Yisrael Minhu. So I said the problem is, so comes along Rav Dimi, and Rav Dimi said, I know this happened with Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Lazar paskin that it's okay. But I don't remember why Rabbi Lazar said that. Was he saying it ultimately again because Safek Bia Tahar? Because I'm not even sure at the end of the day. This is not just simply a case of Safek Mago, but this is a case of Safek Bia, or was it because that in that particular case, the majority of the soldiers with that particular general who came were Jewish soldiers? Therefore, again, there was no issue of Yai Nesech, Ihachi, Hai Safek Bia, Safek Magu. But one second, how can you call this a case of Safek Bia, we'll say? Remember, Safek Bia is when we're not even sure if the Akum was in proximity to the wine. That's what it says. We'll say, what's happened in this case over here? The barrels are open. Right, the barrels are open. Obviously, somebody was there. This is not a case of Safek Bia. This is a case of Safek Mago. To which the Gemara says, listen to this. So the Gemara says, Kevan de Miftichi Tuva. So we'll say, the case is very interesting, which is, there were too many barrels open. What do I mean too many barrels open? We'll say, you see, if the soldiers come, they open a number of barrels, and it looks like that, again, they're opening up the number of barrels in accordance with the number of soldiers they have, then we have an issue of potential desire for consumption. Over here, they opened up too many barrels. I mean, it was more barrels than they would have ever needed. So how do we understand that? So the Gemara says, Ema, adaita dimamona paschu. Oh, both say, listen to this. It could very well be that this group of soldiers weren't really interested in the wine. Rather, what were they looking for? They were looking for money. They were looking for money. And therefore, again, ukesafek biadami. Here's very interesting about this. So the Gemara says, when there is the possibility that the reason they're opening up the barrel is not for wine, but rather for money. So we'll say the Gemara is suggesting that makes it into a case like Safek Bia. And once you come to a case like Safek Bia, then what? Then the mice again, we can hold like Rabbi Lazul, says Safek Bia is going to be mutter. So the Gemara says following. Hahu misubisa de masra la iklida maftecha la obedes kochavim. We'll say, listen to this. So there was this shopkeeper who went ahead and gave the keys to her wine shop to an Ovedes Kochavim. So she gave the keys to the Ovedes Kochavim. So it says, the Shaila is what? So she locks up the store, gives the keys to Ovedes Kochavim. Shaila, of course, now becomes, what is the status of the wine? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Uv Dahava Bei Midrasha. So this once happened in the Beis Medrash. Va'amru, and they said, Lo Masra La Elishmiras Mafteach Bilvad. We'll say, this is actually quite interesting. The fundamental question over here is, what is the status when you give someone a key? What is the status when you give someone a key? Is giving them a key means, I'm giving you access? Or is giving them a key means, can you just watch my keys for me? I don't want you going in. I don't want you doing anything inside the closed space. I just want you to watch my keys. So we'll say, of course, the nafkamina over here is where the shopkeeper goes in and gives the Ovedes Kochavim the keys. If she's giving her keys and therefore giving her access, the wine is usur. If Lamaisa, she's just telling her to watch the keys, the wine is mutter. So this apparently came up in the Beis Medrash before Va'amru, and the way they paskin was, V'masra la ela shmiras mafteach bilvad. That's when she gives the Ovedes Kochavim the keys of Osai, she's not giving her access to the store. What she's essentially doing is she's making the Ovedes Kochavim into a shomeres, telling her, can you please watch my keys for me? I'll be back later on to get the keys. Can you please watch my keys for me for now? Amr Abayi says, Af anan nami tanina. We also learn this. Hamos maftechos la'ama aretz. Tarosav tahoros. Well, listen to this. Let's say I have produce, which is tahar, and I give the keys to my storehouse, to my produce storehouse, to an ama aretz. Remember again, Ama Aretz is not vigilant regarding the laws of Tum and Tara. So I give him my keys. So we're saying the Shaila is what? What is the status of the produce? So what's Talacha? The produce remains Tahar. The fi shalom masra lo elishmiras mafteach bilvat. Because we'll say at the end of the day, I'm not really giving him access to the produce. What am I giving him? The keys. And I'm asking him, please simply watch my keys. To which the Gemara says, Hashta, Tarosav Tahoros. And if, again, the produce is going to remain pure, then it goes without saying that the wine remains untainted as well. Does it become Yayin Esech? Versus what? L'memra, d'taros alimi miyayin esech. So you hear what the Gemara just said? The same way that if I go ahead and I give my keys to the Ama Aretz, so the Ama Aretz doesn't go in and defile my taros. My taros still remains taros. Why? Because when I give him the keys, I'm not giving him access. I'm telling him to please watch my keys. And if that is true by Taras, then what? It's certainly going to be true by Yayin. So to which the Gemara says, is that to say that Taros is treated more stringently than Yayin? To which the Gemara says, in fact, yes. The Itmar, Chatzar Shechalka B'Misvas. So listen to this case. If I have a Chatzar that has a divine, and a Misvas means, Rashi says, Mechitza, it's almost right across in Rashi. It is right across in Rashi. Shechalka b'mispas, mechitza nemucha, a very low divider. Ama aretz mitzadzeh, v'chaver shetaritos mitzadzeh. So listen to this. Let's say I share a chatzer with an ama aretz. So what happens? We share a chatzer, and I have a very low divider. A very low mechitza, a very low divider between our two parts of the yard. So we'll say, so what's talocha? Chatzer shechalka b'mitzvahs, amarav taros of tmeos. We'll say, let's say I normally keep my produce in my yard. in my yard. So let's say, and now what happens? I'm makbid on doing everything betara. My Amma Aretz neighbor is not. So let's say, so what does the Gemara say? That Rav says that my taros are tame. Why? Why? Apparently, again, I have to be choshish that the Akum comes into my side of the yard and goes ahead and touches my produce. If I shared a chatzah with my Ovid Kochavim neighbor, and what? I have a small little divider between our yards, and I keep my wine outside. I need not be concerned that the Akum is touching my wine. So we'll say, what do you see from here? What do you see from here? You see from here that apparently, so taros are treated more stringently than wine. So again, in the case of taros that I leave outside of my yard, I have to assume that my Amma Aretz neighbor touched them, therefore they're tameh. Yet in the case of yayin, I don't assume that my Akum neighbor touched them, and therefore it's yayin esach. So you see from here that ultimately, again, you see from here that taros is more chamer than yayin, which also goes back to what we said before. Therefore, in the case of the keys, once I've established that when I give over the keys to the Amma Aretz, I'm just giving him the keys, I'm not giving him access. And that's true by taros. It will apply by yayin. That's not that when I give the Ovid Kochavim the keys, I'm not giving him access. Just ask him to watch the wine. Rabbi Yochanan says, Af taros, excuse me, just ask him to watch the keys. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Af taros of toros. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even in the case of the neighbor of the Amma Aretz, ultimately, again, my taros remain tahor. So says the Gemara, Meisvei, Hapanim is Shal Chaver, Vachitun Shal Amma Aretz. So listen to this. Here you have a case of a Chaver, which is a Talmud Chacham, and a Amma Aretz, who are neighbors. So both say they have adjoining Chatzeros. In this case, there is one Chatzer inside of another Chatzer. If the inside Chatzer belongs to the Chaver, and the outside Chatzer belongs to the Amma Aretz, Oso Chaver Shoteach Sham Peirosov, Umaniach Sham Kelim. Ultimately, in both say the Chaver could put his produce and his utensils in his chatzer, and he need not be concerned that the Amma Aretz is going to touch it. The Afapi Shiado Shal Amma Aretz Magas L'Sham. And even though, watch Rabbi Osai, even though the Amma Aretz, little Yado Magas means he could reach out to it. So yet, Rabbi Osai, you see in this case over here, that I'm not choshesh that the Amma Aretz is going to touch the stuff in the Chavar's field. Kashi L'Rav. Both say it contradicts Rav, because what did Rav just say before? Rav said that if I'm a chaver and I have an Amma Aretz neighbor, and we have a very low boundary marker, right, boundary divider between our fields, if I put my taros in my chatzer, what's the halacha? It's tamei. And yet here over here, Rav say it says that it's tar. Amr l'charav, Rav will say, no, shiny hasam, shenitbas alav kiganav. Both say the difference in this case over here, in the chatzer case, in the inside outer chatzer, the Amma Aretz lives on the outer chatzer. The chaver is in the inner chatzer. If the Amma Aretz is found in the inner chatzer, we'll say he has no business there. He has no business there. So because he has no business there, ultimately, again, if he's found there, he's going to be treated like a ganav. So he's treated like a ganav. We're not choshesh that therefore he's going to trespass and touch the produce. Tashma. Tashma, we'll say, look at Rashi. Hasam yishum the nitbas alki ganav. Demalo bepnimis. Aval chaluka di kechatzer achad dami ki al yadei lombos. We'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara makes a distinction between cases of one chatzer inside of another chatzer versus two adjoining chatzer. So we'll say, you know, when you have a side-by-side neighbor, if there's not a wall, even if there's a small property marker, then what happens? People wander over, right, a small boundary marker all of the time. It's treated like one chatzer. Therefore, if the Amma Aretz puts out his produce there, there's a real concern that what? That the chaver puts his produce out there, that the Amma Aretz is going to touch it. If, however, again, there's an outer chatzer and an inner chatzer, the Amma Aretz lives on the outer chatzer, the chaver lives on the inner chatzer, then what Rabbi Osai? There is no plausible explanation for why the Amma Aretz would ever be found in the chatzer of the chaver. And therefore, if he is, there's only one reason, which is he's there to do no good. So let's say because he's there to do no good, ultimately he's not going to trespass, and therefore we could assume that if the chaver places his taros in that chatzer, those taros ultimately, again, will remain tar. Tashma, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Gagol shel chaver lemala migagol shel Amma Aretz. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says that if the rooftop of the chaver is taller than the rooftop of the Amma Aretz, ultimately, again, the chaver could go ahead and put out his produce and put his utensils. As long as, what they will say, as long as the hand of the Amma Aretz can't reach up to the roof line, of the chaver. Kash the Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, suppose the kind of teacher Rabbi Yochanan. On the Rabbi Yochanan, shiny hasam the ishle yishtamut. We'll say, here's the difference. In that case, again, the Amma Aretz could have an excuse as to why he's reaching up to the roof line of the Talmud Chacham. Meimar Amar, Ametsuri Kamazir. He says, oh, you know what? I plan on building, I plan on putting an addition, so I'm just trying to measure the heights a little bit. So because he has an excuse as to why he's there, we'll say, therefore, we have to be concerned that ultimately he might be touching the produce. Tashma, gago shel chaver b'tzad gago shel amaretz. So we'll say if the roof line of the chaver is equal to the roof line of the amaretz, also chaver shel teach sham peiros umaneach sham kelim. The chaver could go ahead and spread out his produce and put his utensils there. V'afa pi sheyado shel amaretz magas l'sham. Even though again the hands of the amaretz has the ability to reach there. Kashida Rabbo says contradicts Rab because it seems to be the same case as the side by side fields with the low boundary markers. Yet Rabbo says in this case you say the Amar the clover can't spread out its produce and it's going to remain tar. Amar the Charav Lavi Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Rav says, listen, there is the position of Shimon Gamliel on the Kai Kavase on the Amrik Rav Shimon Gamliel. So we'll say essentially Rav says, listen, I hold the Rav Shimon Gamliel that one has to be concerned for this. Obviously, there are different opinions over here, but Lamaisa, I pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So we'll say the takeaway from all of this is that Halacha Lamaisa, going back to the Akum case, because remember, everything is a derivative from the Akum case. In this situation, ultimately, again, where the Akum is concerned about being discovered for tampering with the wine, then Halacha Lamaisa, again, we have no issue, ultimately, of Yayin Nesach. When the Akum feels that he could be either be undetected or has a plausible explanation for his presence by the wine, or proximity to the wine, then halacha l'maisa, again, we have to be concerned for Yayin Nesach. Seems to be the Gemara introduces us to the position of Elazar that all of these cases are Safik Maga, but if it's Mamish a case of Safik Bia, where again, I will say that ultimately, again, as a Safik, if there was even proximity at all, then Enoch and Amish would say that Safik would be Tahar. All right, well, so stop and pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.